Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Well, it's 2 minutes past eight. My producer Josh says it's the best song that he's heard. It's clear he hasn't heard many songs. I think we have to put that out there. It's okay. It's all right. I don't think it's worthy of a Grammy or anything like that, but I suppose it'll do. This is the Aston Villa Fan Show. And on the line, Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
All right.
You good?
Yeah, brilliant. Before I come on air, in fact, I wanted to start by asking you a question.
Yes, sure.
Before I come on air, someone made a little comment on Twitter insinuating that perhaps I'm in some way fraternising with the enemy due to the way that you supposedly flicked your fingers towards the Holt end against Luton all those years ago.
Do you know what? Everyone got that wrong. I never flicked any fingers towards it. I know. Do you know, I've heard that and I just think, what? What was that all about?
I got your back. I did say that it was more of a goading sort of gesture, and not
It was a celebration with the fans. I mean, I heard that. And do you know what? It was disappointing for people to insinuate that without actually asking me. People made their mind up.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd ask the question.
Thank you. Once it got going, there was nothing I could do about it. I stopped answering because people kept saying, well, you did this to the fans. Absolutely not. I loved those fans. And it's a great club that's dear to my heart. I only wish I could have stayed there longer. But we had a manager, and I suppose we should talk about this another time, you and me, if that's okay.
Yes,
let's talk about the current manager, who has the ump. Indeed. Farcical VAR decision contributed to Tottenham's last gasp Premier League win on Sunday. How did you view that?
I assume we're talking about the penalty decision.
Right.
I mean, he came out after the game. I mean, I agreed with Smith in a sense where I didn't quite. When we were 2-1 down at half time, I thought we were definitely hard done by. But the penalty, it was a stonewaller. I'm sorry, but I don't know how he can come out and say that. You know, he's gone round his man, and you know, it's impossible to nick the ball from where he was. It's not just about, you know, if you go through your man before you get the ball, it's a penalty. It was a stonewaller as far as I'm concerned. And I think we can have a few complaints on that one.
And these are big games for Villa. You know, they need to get stuff from these games. And to lose it in the way they did is heartbreaking. And it's happening, this kind of mistakes, it's just happening far too often for them.
Yeah. I mean, Bjorn Engels, you know, I've said it before, is our very own version of Per Mertesacker. You know, he's susceptible to a mistake like that, you know, a lack of concentration. And, you know, whenever he's in the recovery, he just looks like he's treading water. And the game was up, and it should have been a hard-earned share of the spoils, which I'm sure we'd have taken before the game. And then that happened at the death, and it was just a real bitter pill to swallow.
And you know, looking at Villa's season, I know they're into a cup final, but they're teetering on the brink of relegation, to be truthfully honest. I mean, what are they, a point above the line? Your heart must be in your mouth. I mean, when they got relegated last year, they sort of circled the plug hole for 2 or 3 years before they went down. You know, having spent so much money, you're kind of expecting a little bit more from them this year?
These are sorts of debates that we've had earlier on in the season. You know, we didn't have a squad. The fact is we had to go and spend money. Otherwise, we could barely even field an 11 unless we went to the, you know, the under 23s and the academy. So, you know, we are where we are, and you know, we all expected it to be a tough season. You know, but I do agree in terms of it is getting a bit. you know, the old cliche squeaky bum time. If you look at the last two games, the last two league games, I really think we should have had a couple more points, and that's really disappointing. You know, we were 2-0 down at Bournemouth, but against 10 men. And then once we score, you think we're at least going to go and get something from this, and it sort of just petered out. And then a silly error costing us yesterday, costing us a point. You know, it's fine margins, and 27 points will look a heck of a lot more attractive than the 25 right now. And I know that sounds silly, but it is that tight. And you know, at least we would have had that 3-point cushion. You know, we can't continue to let games pass us by. And so sooner rather than later, we have to start picking up some points. You know, we've got some really difficult games between now and the end of the season, and it's about taking it one game at a time, as opposed to getting into hysterics and thinking about how difficult our run of fixtures are. You know, I've had a look over the team's fixtures that are in and around us, and they've all still got plenty of tough games to come up against too. Back-to-back wins, for example, at this stage, or even a win and a draw would be huge. So hopefully we can start that sequence against Saints on Saturday.
And after the Saints game, let's just have a little bit of a chat about the final, the EFL Cup final. Now, the last final that Man City played in wasn't great for the opponents. And as we know, Villa have been on the receiving end of Man City. Are you fearful, just simply because of what's happened to Man City recently, are you fearful of something like that happening again? Because that'll have an impact on the running for the rest of the season.
I think it's one of those games, and you know, as football players, you know, the Villa lads will know it's going to be difficult. We as fans certainly know. You know, it's going to be one of those games where you know you're probably going to win them one in 50 times. You know, I think circumstance-wise, you know, they have to have an off day. We have to maybe, win something, win a penalty, you know, or they get a man sent off, something like that, something to happen for us to go and get a result, you know, against City in the final. But we didn't expect to go this far in the competition. It's a competition where, generally speaking, apart from the latter stages of the competition, we've fielded a weaker side. And, you know, for us supporters, as it was against Arsenal a few years back in the FA Cup, you know, it's a good day out, you know, and I think we can take it without the expectation. You know, we don't have that adage of expecting to win. So I don't think it'll weigh on the players too much, and I don't think it would impact us greatly should we, you know, lose or even get pummeled in the final like we did at Villa Park. So,
And looking after that, I mean, the fixtures, Leicester City away, Chelsea at home. There are some difficult fixtures, which I think means that the Southampton game becomes huge. Even at this stage of the season, we're talking about must-win games.
Yeah, Southampton's a really, really a big game. You know, I think they've done incredibly well to pull themselves away from the drop zone, really, haven't they? You know, early doors this term, and you really thought they were in for a proper gloomy season, and so hats off to them. Hassan Huttle comes across as a really genuine and sincere bloke, and at least from afar, you know, he comes across as a manager that would be good to play under. And you know, when they came to Villa Park a few days before Christmas, he had them really well drilled, and they just blew us away in that first half. And we could probably consider ourselves lucky to be just 2-0 down at half time. And in the second half, you know, it was just all about game management from their perspective, and they were comfortable winners in the end. But yeah, it is a big game in context. Every game's a big game for us now. You know, I think a lot of fans are already starting to feel that it could go to the last day of the season and the trip to West Ham. And it wouldn't surprise me if it went down to the wire either.
I do think, though, looking at the Villa side, looking at the Villa squad, because, again, a lot of the players played in the Championship, which means that you've got, for want of better words, soldiers in there. You've got people who can fight and battle. I don't think West Ham have got that type of player. I don't think Bournemouth have got that type of player either. Watford do. And that's what I think will save Villa, is the fact that, you know, not just that they can score goals, but they can fight. They can roll their sleeves up and do the ugly stuff that I don't think those other teams have. Do you think that's going to be enough to keep them up?
Yeah, I mean, I like you. I mean, you know, I do think we've got some battlers in there, and you know, and we all love to see them play for our football club. But you know, you also need quality, and you know, we also need to cut out these silly errors that we're making. I mean, our defensive record is just abysmal. You know, you look in the middle of the park. I think that's where we could do with a little bit more of those type players. You know, we brought in Danny Drinkwater, and you know, he's.
Are you happy with him?
I think he's. No. I think he's. I'm not sure what. I've got to be honest. I'm not sure what he has over Dino, and how on earth he gets into that side above either Nakamba or Houlihan, and I'll never know. I guess you could argue that Drinkwater is a bit more combative, and I think that's the trait that you were just referring to than both the other two. But in saying that, Nakamba can roll up his sleeves, you know, when he wishes to, and you know, but his quality on the ball, Drinkwater, it just isn't there. You know, I recall when we brought him in, and Smith likened it to when we first brought Tyrone in last January, and you know, they hadn't played much football and the like. And you know, the difference is we almost knew from minute one that Mings was going to be a special player for us, and Drinkwater just isn't that. Mm. It's as simple as that. He's not good enough, and he's just not fit enough either. You know, he's rusty, and I genuinely believe he's not even 30 yet, but I think he's had his time. He just doesn't look the same player that he was anywhere near he was a few years ago.
So, listening to what you've just said, you're talking about recruitment then. So, how would you evaluate Dean Smith so far and his recruitment?
I don't think it's Dean Smith in a sense where, you know, we've obviously got Souza as the sporting director. So, you know, and I'm led to believe that he plays certainly a pivotal role, if not the defining role, perhaps more so in our recruitment strategy. Recruitment-wise, it was a very difficult one in a sense in the summer period, in the sense that we had to recruit so many players. And, you know, I don't think we did too bad recruitment-wise. You know, I have a little bit of ill feeling, might be a bit strong of a word, maybe towards Wesley. I think we could have got more value in a centre-forward. January, I think Samatta, by the way, has been an excellent piece of business. But the fact that we left it so late, and I think that we got all that wrong. We knew that we would need a centre forward, and me personally, I think we needed better quality out wide, and that's an area that's really killed us this season out in the wide areas. Recruitment wise, you know, if I was to rate it out of 10, I'd probably give it a 4 overall in both windows.
Well, I tell you what, we will talk a little bit more about it. This is the Aston Villa Fan Show with myself, Paul Mortman, Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp podcast. After the break, we're going to be talking about the impact of relegation, or how many changes will they need if they do stay up. See you in a sec.
Love Sport.
17 minutes past 8. Myself, Paul Mortman, Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp podcast. Ryan, we were talking just before the break. You were talking about players and recruitment, and you gave the recruitment a 4 out of 10. Now, if we're going to talk about relegation and the impact of, okay? But first I want to talk about if they stay up. If Villa were to stay up, and they're teetering on the brink, they're 25 points from 26 games, 17th place, 18th place West Ham, 24 points from 25 games. If they were to go down, to stay up, are they still going to keep Grealish?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I've said it on the show before. I think if we stay up, Grealish will stick with the project.
Why?
Why? Because he loves the club so much. I think it is. With a lot of players in the modern game, is I often think it's not enough. With someone like Jack, knowing, you know, he is Villa, you know, he's ardent Villa. You know, we're not just talking about, you know, someone that occasionally went, you know, to watch the club. He was always there. His family, a huge Villa. You know, he's played for the club since he was 6. He's captain. He is a Villa man. I don't think he needs the money or necessarily the individual acclaim and success that a lot of footballers need. Do I think he's too good for us? Absolutely. That's a different question. But I think he would most certainly stay. And if we stay up, you know, we know, you know, we've got wealthy owners who appear to be in it for the long haul, for the long run. And they'll be, again, investing. Now, if we're doing that, for example, we were to stay up and go and spend another 140, 150 million, then if we were in and around this position, say, next season, then Dean Smith may have a lot to answer for, along with the coaching staff. But, I genuinely think Jack would stay if we stayed up.
I'm going to irritate you just a little bit, Ryan, because I actually think I question his ambition if he was to stay. And I tell you why I do that. Before you growl at me, I tell you why I do that. Because he is a top six player. I truly believe that his talents deserve to be in the top five or six. Because I think I genuinely think he's that good. And I think if he wasn't at Villa, he would be in the England squad now. I really do. And I just think, I look at it sometimes and I think, I thought the same about Wilf Zaha at Palace, about Harry Kane at Spurs. They are putting together a bank of performances that aren't getting the plaudits they deserve. Jack Grealish has been absolutely magnificent this season in a side teetering on the brink of relegation. Those performances would have pushed Tottenham into the top five, for example. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I think he's that good.
I would agree. He is that good. You know, I love Jack Grealish to death, and you know, he is too good to be playing for us. We know that as supporters, you know. But at the same time, is you don't see this anymore. You don't really see this whole one club mentality. You know.
But being a fan is not enough. Listen, I'm just devil's advocate here. Sometimes being a fan isn't. He can still be a fan and love the club. There's absolutely no disputing that. But again, it's a short career, and he has an opportunity with the talents he's got to do something really special. And I just think playing for Villa at this moment is holding him back.
Yeah, and listen, if for example he were to go and he were to go to a much bigger club, I'm talking, you know, I wouldn't want him to go to a fledgling side like an Arsenal or, you know, a Man United. If he was to go to a top club, whether it be here or abroad, us fans will, you know, wish him all the best. But as I say, I think he will stay. And, you know, call it lack of ambition, call it what you will. And I know it's quite selfish, but, you know, we would love to have him here for as long as possible. You know, but it would cost an arm and a leg to get hold of him, that's for sure.
And do you think he has power at the club? So if they stay up and he stays, if I'm him, I'm going to the club and saying, put the money to one side. Are you going to match my ambition with players? And number one. And number two, if you stay up, is Dean Smith the right man to lead Villa up the table?
But I think that's a really harsh question in terms of, of course, you know, if we stay up, I'm sure he would, and, you know, he was inclined to stay, he would be asking probably those sorts of questions. What are you going to be doing? And rightly so, you know, he's the star man. But at the same time, it's not like, you know, of old, where you didn't have the, you know, the financial fair play and the restrictions that we have now. You know, it would be totally different if we were having this conversation 15, 20 years ago, where you'd be talking about, you know, we've got some of the richest owners in English football, and they could just throw money lavish, and, you know, spend well beyond our means. And so you have to take it with an air of realism here. It's a case of, yes, we will invest, but it is a slow build. And that's more victim of the era that we're in, what with the restrictions and such. So, it's a difficult one, really.
And if they stay up, which, you know, I believe they will, where do they need strengthening? In a perfect world, who would you want?
In terms of player personnel, I think personnel wise, I think we are extremely lacking out wide. I've said that, you know, I as much as I, you know, have a lot of admiration for El Ghazi, you know, for what he did last season, you know, obviously scoring in the playoff final and the first goal in the playoff final, and he's had a few good games this season and his endeavours there. I just don't think he's a top Premier League player, and you know, it's not really happened much for Jota. I don't think Trezeguet is up to scratch yet. You know, these are all players that I don't mind in terms of periphery, but they wouldn't be Premier League starters. So out wide on both flanks is important, I think. Potentially out in the left fullback area. You know, I was a fan of Matt Target. He attacking wise, good. Defensively, not so good. And to me, he just goes down a little. He's a little bit soft. He hides away a little bit.
You know, you're talking about Smith signings there, are you?
Yeah. Mm. So yes, Smithy signings. Yeah. Mm. Well, perhaps more so Souza. As I say, it's very much a strange sort of relationship there. I'm not a massive fan of sporting directors and their.
Are you saying that Dean Smith isn't the person? I mean, listen, I'm old school. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, a player comes in, it's got to be the manager's choice. Are you saying that doesn't happen?
I'm saying that, you know, it's very much, it's a joint effort, so we're led to believe. But, you know, I would probably say that Souza has a lot more say in the matters than what the club would let on to. You know, and, you know, this is nothing new for Dean Smith. You know, he obviously worked under two directors of football at Brentford.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is nothing new for him. I mean, referring back to your earlier question, if we were to stay up, is Dean Smith the man to lead us forward? Again, that remains to be seen in terms of what tools he has. I think, you know, for the large part, he understands football, he understands the way to play, and, you know, it's a lot more, I get a lot more fulfilment watching his football than I have certain managers over the past few years. But, you know, that comes with, if for example, they were to invest in the summer, having stayed up, if we're struggling, then he has a lot to answer for. You know, you could be talking about a football club that has spent 250 to 300 million in the space of, you know, 12 to 18 months. And if you're languishing near the bottom of the table, then there's something severely wrong.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Well, we've seen this kind of thing with Fulham last year, who spent a hell of a lot of money and bought too many players to try and integrate into a system that didn't work, and they found themselves back in the Championship and having, you know, financial issues. Now, I'm looking at Aston Villa, and I was reading something about financial fair play. I mean, if they were to go down, would they be involved in anything around financial fair play?
Yeah, I mean, again, I've mentioned it on the show before, and it's something that I've written about in the past. I don't know how we got away with it last time. I don't think we have the best relationship with the EFL, and I think we would fall foul. I'm very surprised that we didn't fall foul before. I think, you know, I'm not accusing the club of any dodgy accounting, but it certainly didn't add up to the figures that many of the ourselves, you know, as close observers of the football club and some financial experts found. But I think that we would struggle. Obviously, the parachute payments will be handy, of course, and like I've said before, the ownership itself, and the fact that, you know, if we were to go down, I'd be resigned to losing some big players. You know, Jack Grealish, needless to say, John McGinn, more than likely, and probably the likes of Tyrone Mings and so forth. So we would obviously get, you know, some decent hefty money for them. Obviously not as much as what we would do if we were a Premier League club. But not only that, I think our wage structure is a lot more sustainable than it was when we went down a few years back. The sort of wages that we were paying were just absolutely ludicrous, to be quite frank. And I think the club have certainly learned their lessons from that. Mm.
And, I mean, unfortunately, it looks like you might need a keeper as well, because Tom Heaton, I mean, he's not going to play at Euro 2020, and, you know, it was a real unfortunate injury, because I think he's a huge influence as well in the dressing room.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting to see what happens with him come the summertime, and obviously likewise with Pepe Reina. You know, if for example Tom Heaton perhaps even, you know, could even potentially, hopefully, I hope he doesn't, and there's no rumour of this as yet, you know, hang up his boots, because he's getting on a bit, but you know, before that injury, you would say he would have many years ahead of him. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens with that, you know. So I know we're coming up to the end of the show, but you know, I did just want to talk about about what was really disappointing to hear yesterday,
Go
that
ahead.
Some members of the the Punjabi villains heard a lot of racial stereotyping and hateful comments towards certain Spurs players based on their ethnicity, culture, and where they're from yesterday.
And I
also saw a couple of other, you know, I know that Villa fans listen to the show, so I wanted to share it really. And I have seen a couple of other fans tweet that someone, you know, someone who sits near them was hurling anti-Semitic abuse throughout the match. And I just want to point out that this sort of behaviour isn't on. And I don't care whether you're at the football or not, it's not acceptable at any level of society, no matter where you are or what circumstances, you know. I know that obviously you've done a lot of work as well with Kick It Out and so forth. You know, I wasn't around during the 80s, you know, and I was born in 87. Well, I was around in the 80s strictly then, but there have been many people that have told me how bad it was back then. And having black and mixed race family members, I was made aware of the issues that they and we as a family had endured during the 70s and 80s. And, you know, we don't want to be going back to those dark times. I don't care what's happening politically. You know, I know there's been a few things saying that, you know, it's maybe politically driven, but, you know, it's not acceptable. And if ever you hear it at Villa Park or anywhere else, you know, just make sure you report it.
I make you right, Ryan. That's absolutely brilliant. What a great place to end. I'm with you. And what the only thing I challenge now is fans. We do a lot of work with Kick It Out, who I used to work for. They have a reporting app. You know, go onto their website. You can get the reporting app and you can report anonymously. You report the seat number, whatever's going on, and they, alongside the club, will actually be able to sort it out. So I challenge fans out there not to get militant and accost people, but to report anonymously, because fans now have to step up around and do a little bit more. Ryan, thank you very much. Really enjoyed it. It was fascinating talking to you. I definitely will be looking forward to speaking to you again. That's Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp. Now, after the break, we're going to be talking to Derby County Rams writer Simon Long. There is so much for us to discuss. Stay with us. This is Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.